आई वेंट टू पंजाब इंजीनियरिंग कॉलेज और मैं नकल मार के पास हुआ।
सर पॉडकास्ट में बोल रहे हैं।
It was not easy to invest with him.
Why?
He had problems of plenty.
So our real tough years were pre-2005. And I give credit to IRCTC. Because IRCTC solved a very painful problem.
The strength of Deep was that he was not coming from a travel agency trying to go online. He was thinking of online travel.
As a new category.
As a new category. Very, very afresh. If you haven't gone through a near-death experience, you haven't built a company.
We really doubled down in India. Till then, we were just doing NRIs, non-resident Indians in the US coming to India, not by choice, by default, because no one was buying in India.
Really?
Then you will do all the talking.
No, but today, look who's talking.
Good one. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
Are we rolling? Oh, we've started.
Yeah. Deep and Sanjeev, welcome to the barbershop. And you know, you both are such stalwarts, you know, investor, operator, founders, and you know, building institutions in your own right. And I'll give you a little bit about the barbershop before we jump into your journey. So the barbershop actually was created as a marketing engine for Bombay Shaving Company because we wanted to be front and center in conversation for our young consumers, young shavers, young groomers, people who want to look good, going on a date, going for an interview in college, first job, etc. Maybe getting married. For that consumer, we felt like there was a level up, there was an optionality that Gillette, Philips were not giving them. And we felt like for younger consumers, sensitive skin, acne, beard styling, there was a huge gap. And that's where Bombay Shaving Company came in. And we realized we had a challenger entrepreneurial brand. Mm. And how to become center of conversation for these consumers who love startup founders, who love, like, who idolize people in the world in this space, is to actually create a property around entrepreneurship. So what better way to do that than to call in amazing entrepreneurs, investors, CEOs, leaders into the barbershop, have a discussion about them, and you know, make content out of it. So you guys are
content going machine.
Are creating marketing for Bombay Shaving Company today.
Happy to do that. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
How do you make sure you're not the 101st podcast around this? There's so many happening.
Yeah.
And I'm here because, I mean, if you had called me, probably would have done it.
Yeah.
But if Sanjeev called me, there's no way I could not do it.
Yeah.
But there are just so many. And some of them are really good.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you stand apart?
So, to give you a sense, we are amongst the first entrepreneurship podcast that started in this country right after COVID, around 22-23.
I see.
To give you a sense, we have around 1 to 1.5 million unique listeners. Till date, we have roughly gotten between 25 to 30 crore views across the board.
Wow.
All organic. We don't do any performance marketing, media buying for this property at all.
And YouTube is the channel?
YouTube and Instagram.
Mm.
And of course, we have Apple, podcast.
Because you run the whole thing on Apple or Spotify. Or
everything. Yeah. Wherever you are subscribed, you'll get access to it. We don't make money off of it. We don't make any money off of it. This is not monetized at all. And a good part about this podcast is that, A, it had a first mover advantage. B, I think we got long form right. A lot of people get short form right. It's good to put in a 1 minute short and like get some attention. But to get people, so our average view duration is roughly 16 to 17 minutes.
Lovely.
In this world.
In
of
this
scrolling,
world.
Attention span is.
Attention span of a wasp. Yeah, that's so true.
No, but today. Like,
look who's talking.
Good one.
No, but I think that was, that's the whole plan. And, you know, our viewers, Deep and Sanjeev, are younger folks on the fence of entrepreneurship or doing something entrepreneurial. There's people who kind of want to do something. Everyone, like, the itch is very real, right? And they come to the barbershop for inspiration. And I think the three of our time will be well spent if one person watching this switches off YouTube and says, okay, I now have the courage to go and do something on my own. And that's pretty much the reason why I think, like, many people think that I spend a lot of time doing this because I show up on people's feeds a lot, but it's not a lot of time. I actually spend maybe...
The post-production is efficient, I'm sure.
I have the whole team to do it.
Lovely.
No,
I love that you're doing it. I was actually thinking in your shoes, like, how do you stand out? Because, you know, Anand does this from for a long time from Axel.
Yeah.
Anand, what's his name?
Daniel.
one of the partners.
Anand Daniel, yeah.
Anand Daniel. And he does a very nice job. And then Jivraj does such a good job. I really like some of the folks are doing a lovely, lovely job. Yeah. So I've got my answer. But it's
I don't think we have even scratched the surface of content. So this year, by the way, is a bad year for podcasts. Because people don't have patience to learn. This is not a year of learning. This is a year of enjoyment. The markets are screwed. Economy is fucked. People's SIPs are, you know, people are questioning, kare, na kare. So, logon ko YouTube pe aake bakchodi karna hai. They want to come. Yeah, they 2 years back, people are hungry for insights. Like the number of comments, people are writing long essays on each episode.
That's so interesting.
Now people are coming and looking for entertainment. And this is like even like movies go through the same cycle, right? Sometimes it's action, sometimes it's...
Movies are dead, yeah. Bollywood's pretty much dead. OTT is killing everything and nothing really, yeah.
Content is alive and kicking.
Yeah, yeah. I guess again, Sanjeev, you and I must be unusual because I'm like long podcasts. I like really commit to a podcast series. And
really?
I've chartered Acquired. I've chartered The Empire. Like I've done 40, 50 episodes of both.
Wow.
Yeah, and but
and
then
based on your recommendation, I went to Acquired. It is amazing,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And I knew you'd love it because you know it's a VC's perspective.
Yeah,
every company has a story.
Yeah,
you've heard
they
them.
Stitch it together.
I've heard a few of them. Very good.
Superb.
And
in
I
fact,
think the stories of Benchmark Capital, their dinners.
Oh my God! And how they missed their great misses is superb.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love that because for me that's actually very relaxing. Long drives where you're done with calls, flights, walks.
Yeah.
Even gym.
Gym.
So my son thinks I'm crazy. Who goes to a gym and listens to a podcast and music? I said, but you know, music sunenge jab social mein hai. Like I do listen to music, but for me, I think it's great time to catch up.
Music is for unwinding. This is for learning.
And I get lost in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Empire is very entertaining.
Yeah.
The
Empire is.
It's outstanding, man. And so well researched.
Oh my
it's
God.
So
William and Anita are like, and they call in some guest speakers. And also, I think podcast as a format is superb.
This
video or audio?
Both.
This is both.
Both. We'll take the audio files and we have cameras.
Okay, great.
So this is going to be on YouTube as well.
Shall we roll?
We are already rolling.
Oh, we are rolling.
But how did you guys meet? And you know, I was thinking. I never prepare for the podcast beyond knowing my guests well.
That was my other question. How long do you spend preparing?
There's probably a 30-minute. I create what I call a spinal skeleton of the. So I know the broad areas I want to go in.
Yeah.
But depending on the people and depending on what they've spoken about in public fora before.
Also, you're well read, you're aware of the
industry. So I would have seen you like a bunch of times, right? Yeah, so I know that this is what you like talking about. So I want to figure out how do I get stuff which is beyond that. Now that I have both of you together, which is why I spoke to Sanjeev also, the founder investor relationship is a deeply complicated and beautiful one. And we love. Like last week, we had Manu from Sauce with the Mokobara founders. We've had, Deepak Shahdadpuri with Kapil Chopra from Postcard.
Oh, wow.
So and the dynamic is so unique. Each time it's very unique. And it's, you know, different. And I thought, you know, it's great to have two friends, neighbors, you know, founder, investor, kind of building institutions and kind of go really deep on this one thing of building, you know, a person who is a stake, you know, a deployer of capital. And an operator of business, how you guys work
consumer
together.
Consumer of capital.
Multiplier of capital. In your case, that's the right number, right?
That's nice.
Well said.
So our story is actually very interesting. Sanjeev, aap bataoge, main batao.
Batao aap.
Aapko yaad hai? Mujhe to yaad hai.
Haan, bilkul yaad.
So 2006. So Helion is our Series B.
Wow.
Before that, we had Elevation, what was then called Safe. But prior to that, I think the only person that took individual money after 2005 and planning not to take individual or whatever was Ashish Gupta, his co-founder.
Yes.
And Ashish jungly fame and Ashish is a legend.
Yeah.
I think in IIT he's still called God or something. Yeah. He's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I met him through my investor Ravi Adusmali, and I remember met him on a cold winter morning in US somewhere, and he was waiting outside the Starbucks because I couldn't find it, and he was just waiting outside. And you cannot but love Ashish. Like he's just, I think, one of the most lovable people. Everyone loves Ashish. So we had a long chat and all. And he didn't tell me about Helion being hatched, but he took some. We gave him some. I wanted to get him on because I really thought he can add a lot of value on our product tech side, Silicon Valley. That time he was still more there. And soon after that, he said that, listen, we have a fund coming up and I'll roll it up into the fund and it's called Helion and et cetera. And I said, sure, whatever. But you'll stay involved. You'll be on the board. He said, yeah. And then Ashish did a number. Suddenly he said, Sanjeev will be on your board.
So he had to suffer me.
No, that's not true. So I said, yeah, Ashish, but the whole idea is, nahi, main na wahan valley mein hoon, toh Bangalore aunga, main kam aunga. Sanjeev is in Gurgaon and you're in Gurgaon. So it makes a lot of sense. And he has great experience, which he absolutely did, building Daksh into such a great company. So I said, okay, that's fine. Again, he didn't. So I gave a little pushback only because I really loved Ashish and I didn't know Sanjeev. So it was nothing about Sanjeev. And then he just told me very quietly, yeah, he's also my brother-in-law. I remember my next question to him was, Jija ya Sala? So he said, Jija. I said, samajh gaya yaar, tab to khatam ho gayi baat. Agar aapke Jija ji hai, toh matlab koi, I understand the relationship very well. But it was great because Helion and Sierra split Series B because we liked them both. I don't think we know how to say
how big was the Series B in 2006?
2006.
How big were the Series B's in that?
I'll tell you.
About 15 million.
15?
Put 8 million.
That's right. Oh, Safe also topped up.
Yeah.
So
maybe 15 to 20.
That might be a little bit more. Because
that's 60, 65 crores.
Our Series A was 9. Nine fresh money into the company. And it was about 4.5 to buy out all the angels from Safe.
Okay.
And you're right. Series B could have been about 17, 18. Because Safe just invested enough to keep their share.
Okay.
But they split that round. I don't remember the exact now. It's really been
long. And about 30 million pre-money
valuation.
Today it is what, 10 billion?
Whatever. Thereabouts. thereabouts, yeah. Wow. No, but you sold out at IPO most of it.
We sold at about 1 billion.
IPO was... 450 was the list and then it kind of doubled pretty soon. So they sold out that time. Most of the investors did sell out and they have to, I guess. Yeah. But the best has only come post-COVID if you think about it. I think we've got true value only there. So therein started the story and Sanjeev was absolutely one of the most, I think, dedicated board members and really, really got into the weeds. Because he had been an operator. He had been an entrepreneur. So he was always seeing us. I think he still thinks more as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You know, it's very hard not to. You can become an investor or maybe you can do both, which we should hear from him.
Yeah.
So that's how we met.
Wow.
And then we had many connects. His partner in, I knew Pawan a bit, but got to know him through him better, which was the Daksh partner. So then many, many connects.
And our wives are very good friends.
Yeah. Oh, I think that happened later. Right?
They
get along well. And now we are neighbor, which is complete ittifaq.
Really?
He lived in DLF phase one. In a beautiful red brick house. We had a nice red brick house in phase two. And I would see his house because there's a doctor next door. And I would go there and say, what a lovely, charming house. And no idea it was his. And now we've both given up the homes because kids have flown, and we've both moved into apartments and we share like a roof.
Wow.
My roof is his floor.
Wow.
We are simplifying lives.
So it's good we run into each other.
And what was your first impression of Deep? And just paint a picture of this. 2006 is a long time ago. This is like internet is coming. I think most people were on Orkut at that time.
It's 19 years.
I don't think people recognize. 2006 feels recent, but it's ages back from a internet standpoint.
Oh yeah.
From credit cards online or payments online, etc. So, what is your first kind of feeling about Deep and the business you're building and so on?
Already a celebrity. Because I think you started in year 2000.
2000. Right? Huh? 25 years in April on April 1.
Wow.
So actually in 4 days.
Congratulations.
Time. Yeah, thank you.
Wow.
And we also started Daksh in year 2000.
Okay.
So we knew each other as fellow entrepreneurs. But we had never
not met.
We had not met.
We knew the company.
And then of course, through Ashish, who was an investor in his company, I had known of Deep. So I think when this, by the way, was our first investment.
Make my trip first ever investment. Wow.
And when we met, I had no experience of investing. Unlike my other partners, Kamal, Ashish and Rahul Chandra, they were all either angel investors or institutional investors.
Correct.
I was pretty raw. And I was coming from a paradigm that I want to help build enduring companies. I was less focused on generating returns, but more focused on helping build an enduring company where the returns will follow. So that is the context in which one knew Deep. And I think first impressions are superbly humble. And the second keyword...
That did not change, by the way. Like,
yeah, it's so easy to access him. And it's the same guy who was 25 years back. There is no change whatsoever, in spite of all the prosperity and success. That,
thank you.
That he has gone through. So I think second piece was very good first principles thinking. I like entrepreneurs who are not from the space.
Say more about that.
Because the ones who are in the space have too much baggage. The strength of Deep was that he was not coming from a travel agency trying to go online. He was thinking of online travel.
As a new category.
As a new category. Yeah. Very, very afresh. And third was for a Series B company, they had a pretty complete team. His founding partners, Rajesh Mago, who's now the CEO, and Keyur and Sachin, four of them, they had marketing, operations, technology, strategy, all pretty much covered. And I think the other interesting aspect of Deep and his business was that it was digital delivery. So retail going online has so much friction because you're transporting a good. But a travel you can do digitally.
Correct.
So these were some of the forces that came together in our seeking to invest in his company. And as is expected for all great entrepreneurs and great companies, it was not easy to invest with him.
Why?
He had problems of plenty.
But how it changed. I mean, till 2005, we couldn't get anyone. So our real tough years were pre-2005. 2000, you're talking about 2006 being new to the internet. 2000 to 2005 was the dark ages. And, you know, no one was ready to buy. No one was ready to drop a credit card online. Everyone was ready. And we had some abysmally low number. I think that number was like 1 million buyers or something. But they were also buying what? Only, I think, Free Kamal, everything. So, you know, Rediff was big at that time. India Times was big at that time. No one was really purchasing. Everyone was doing the free stuff. Till 2003, and I give credit to IRCTC, because IRCTC solved a very painful problem. All of us have probably bought a, lined up at a train station and bought a bus ticket. You're pretty young. Correct. Both of us have done it many times.
Correct.
You line up there on a train station, and you reach the end of the line and there's no seat. Forget waitlist, there's no seat. You've wasted good 1 hour, gone through a miserable experience. They took away all that pain. Of course, at the back end, Chris was there, CRIS, they had you know, digitized everything and all. But that problem went away suddenly. So people said, yeah, the alternative is so painful and this is so easy.
Yeah.
And it's government. So in India, let's face it, maybe most countries, but in India, people are still very trusting. So they said, yeah, IRCTC, Indian Railways, drop the card. And, you know, it's safe. That really changed the game here. And that's when we really doubled down in India. Till then, we were just doing NRIs, non-resident Indians in the US coming to India, not by choice, by default, because no one was buying in India.
So and we funded a pivot.
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible.
Global to domestic.
Yeah. So the original business plan in 2000 was people to be the preferred portal of choice. It was portal those days. For people traveling to, from and within India. So it was always these three, but only within was working. Because our NRI brethren and friends and all were comfortable buying online because Expedia was there, Amazon was there.
Correct.
Also, a lot of credit card protection is there in the US. People, you know, fearlessly use their card. Even then, kuch hoga, chargeback kar lenge. And, you know, there's full protection.
Correct.
But in India, it was not the case. And we went through like, those were our real, I would say, trial by fire years because we had very, very little money. We went through a period where no salary, no comm. So we had done our
first 5-6 years.
Those 5 years. Out of that 18 months, no comm because the company could afford it. We had eVentures in 2000, by the way, but they did a, they basically wanted their money back. So then we were entirely management held with some angels from 2001 to 2005.
Yeah. Would you say that every company goes through a near-death experience?
I mean, you know, what I would say is, Sanjeev, you are actually lucky if you do. Because, and if you do early, obviously you come out on the other side.
Strengthens you, yeah.
Totally. You know, otherwise, I don't think we would last those. You were there as investor, those two, three others, when, you know, domestic air industry was imploding. One of our biggest guys, Kingfisher, went bust overnight. Yeah. all kinds of shit was going on, and we were very dependent on domestic air. And then, of course, COVID, which was the most recent big crisis.
Yeah.
I think how you deal with this, really, if you've come through, there is something about muscle memory. And it's about anything in life. I think if we've all seen one really tough one in anything, then the next time something like that happens, you kind of know how to cope. And, you know, you also realize freaking out is not going to help. Step back, see what can we do, restructure cost, Joby. But the first time was like crazy. In fact, I think we really, I was talking yesterday to someone and saying we had 2 months this thing. Rajesh, who was VP Finance then, or CFO, reminded me. He said there were times we had 1 month payroll and rental. I said, really? So that was the very scary part. Because then you're leading a pack of people who believe in you completely. And I think we all know as entrepreneurs, that is what gives you sleepless nights.
Correct.
Nothing else.
Correct.
Because if an investor doesn't make money, or you are out of a, you know, your business goes down, you'll get another job.
Correct.
Investors are many companies. But young folks who've given up their, this, you know, other career, or may not, they're not that well qualified. What if they, tomorrow you shut down?
Not many of them have moved cities.
Yeah.
They got a house near the office. Like,
it's always,
that sort is very scary.
Always people issues. The only thing that gives me sleepless nights is the people issue.
And actually, I have seen, Shantanu, that every successful company in our portfolio has gone through a near-death experience.
And what about the founders, or maybe Deep and maybe some of the other ones who you're talking about?
Yeah.
What about them pulls them through? Because I think it requires disproportionate courage and optimism both. Like disproportionate, rather, almost to an irrational extent, right? A lot of outsiders might even call it delusion.
Yeah.
But as an investor, I know that you guys come with a very rational mind, and you know, very bottom up thinking, fundamental. You know, numbers have to match.
Yeah.
What do you see common in founders who are able to kind of really?
You know, first, these special situations are different in different cases.
Correct.
In one case, it tends to be, in a winner-take-it-all market, money running out.
Correct.
And these are large prizes to be won. So if money runs out, you are dead.
Correct.
The second thing that can destroy you is that somebody wants to buy you. And that money is life-changing event for you. So you are not able to resist that situation. And third is what you were talking earlier, a pivot, which is being driven by a business model. For example, we are investors in Big Basket, leaders in slotted delivery. But one fine day, the world has moved to quick commerce.
10 minutes, correct.
So we were telling people that we will deliver goods after a day.
Yeah.
And now we have actually, it's like changing engines when you are airborne. And now we have moved the entire business, the tech, the process, the dark store infrastructure to 15 minutes.
Wow.
Only Bangalore or all?
All over the country.
Wow.
That's amazing.
So I think all these guys draw upon that extra reserve when their chips are down. I think their resilience and the ability to dig deep into themselves when they are seeing an inflection point is what separates men from boys.
Yeah.
And this is actually a very, very consistent pattern, that if you haven't gone through a near-death experience, you haven't built a company.
That's Indakshu had some tough time.
Yeah. We were, Shantanu and Deep, we used to run customer service for Amazon.
Mm. Yeah.
That was our first customer. For a startup to get Amazon.com as a customer,
That's a coup. Yeah.
You seem to get the first one right. Amazon the first customer, make my developer.
Getting Amazon was.
Yeah. And it's a slippery slope thereafter. So what happened was, we had about 200 people ready to service Amazon consumers with their customer service requests. And their season, fourth quarter, October, November, December, there's a very big spike.
Christmas.
Because of the
holiday buying.
And we had 200 people on the floor And we were not able to make the connection happen between our client and their infrastructure.
Oh my God.
And they had said that our entire customer service is predicated on this
working,
on this platform working. So if we had not done it by a certain hour, our contract would have been cancelled and they were our only customer. So money would have run out. And I think...
And this was tech support or voice both?
This was email support.
Email.
Email support.
For any like, you know...
Transaction.
Where's my package? What's this thing? Or
when is it coming? Usually with Amazon, it's usually when is it going to come?
And when is it coming is a billion-dollar industry. Yeah.
is it there yet?
Yeah. Even today.
No pun intended. but I you're right. Even today and many Christmas seasons, I think that's happened. In India, it's happened Diwali time. But I know Amazon has had slips.
Yeah.
But despite that, of course, they power on. But to have them also would have really been trial by fire.
It was a coup. I think the good news is that entrepreneurial companies buy from entrepreneurs. So while Amazon was a big company, yet still it was a small company within a big company.
There was a guy there. Now I recall Ashish put me in touch with him and he said, learn from him. He's the god Bill.
Bill Price?
Oh my God. This is taking me back 25. Yeah. He said, Deep, there is no smarter guy.
Yeah.
And we connected.
Yeah.
And he says, try to get him as a consultant. He'll never join you and you can't afford him.
Yeah.
He says, he'll teach you.
So he was our customer, VP of customer service.
Oh yes, Bill
at
Price.
At Daksh.
Amazon.
At Amazon.
He was the person that we were trying to do the contract with.
Plus, they were Six Sigma and everything. Even today, that's a company I really admire.
Amazon?
Yeah.
They taught us so much, Shantanu, that every other customer that we got after that, whether it was Hewlett Packard or Aetna or Sprint or Citigroup, it was a roster of Fortune 500 companies. But Amazon told us how to... run customer service.
The others would have been a walk in the park.
It was much easier. Because they used to say, ki, you don't have to answer the question that has been asked. You have to anticipate the next question. And frame your answer in a way that there is no next question.
Amazon also, customer centricity is gold standard. Right?
Absolutely.
That's what they used to say in McKinsey also. If you serve Toyota on supply chain,
that's the way
to become an expert.
Gold standard.
You can go and do it anywhere else in the world.
Nice.
And what is the evolution you saw, Deep, in Sanjeev as an investor, as a board member, Ashish's brother-in-law who comes and joins a board after an investment but kind of stays with you till IPO?
And that was just the introduction. After that, of course, Sanjeev was on the board. Like I said, he never missed any. I think Sanjeev, the point he said, I didn't realize that was always your driving force, and now it makes so much sense to build an enduring company. Because actually, he always pushed us towards things like that. His focus, one, I knew it was entrepreneurial. He had built it. He had been there. So he was always pushing on scaling, but with process. So, you know, how are you going to do that? You had this plan. Where is your plan to do that? And I think he would force us to think much harder about processes. Not like we didn't. And it was maybe a bit more than first principle. I'd worked in GE, so that helped me a bit. But we had someone else who was doing a bit of this. GE was my last job with GE. So we got it. But was that my second nature? No. So I think those nudges, and I think many times also in a very nice sort of way, showed us the mirror, showed me the mirror, and very nicely about some areas which were clear gaps. And that's where I really valued our board. So I loved our board, and this is Sanjeev and others for a reason. We had three investors there when we IPO'd.
What was the board like?
So it was Sanjeev from Helion. Uh-huh. There was Tim Guleri from Sierra. There was Ravi Adusamali from Safe or Elevation. Tiger never had a board seat by choice. They could have, but they had a board invitee. They didn't really attend. And we had three independents and great independents.
Who are your independents?
Sanjeev Bikchandani.
Okay.
Who's just phenomenal. He stepped down when we were listing overseas, but 5 years he was an independent. So I had an independent board well before we IPO in 2005. So now I get a call a month from someone who's IPOing saying, join our board. And of course, I'm not doing boards. So somehow we got that right early, and we had two foreigners, Caucasian guys, one American, one French-Canadian, One more guy, and you'd remember Fred, of course. So Fred was this brilliant product guy.
Expedia.
He'd actually sold his company NutraTrade to Expedia. So he was a tech guy, the only tech acquisition Expedia ever made. And again, one of the guys who called a spade and still a dear friend. Now he's building something else fantastic, you know, on the search side, Hopper. And Philip, who sadly has passed, Philip Wolf was like the guru of online travel. And I used to attend his conferences. So his conferences are called Focusrite. Were really the gold standard in online travel conference. Like you had to go to the Focusrite conference. Everyone came there. It was very well curated, etc. So I managed to get both of them, which was actually, I was surprised. I got Philip. Philip helped me get Fred. Mm-hmm. And I got Sanjeev because I knew him. Many, many connections. Senior. Many years senior, but there were a lot of connections.
Bikshandani.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that really helped. We had three investors, three independents. And I have to say, hand on heart, I listened to these guys. It wasn't like, oh my God, these guys. Because I said, I'm getting free advice. Like, why won't I take it? People are going out to get this kind of advice and you're this thing and all of that. But, and everyone came. I think most of the board spoke very less except Sanjeev. Sanjeev likes to talk. Bikshandani. No. I think what I remember, Sanjeev A made... I think just a couple of comments. He came very well prepped always. He had a couple of important points and that was it. Ravi spoke even less. Ravi seldom spoke. And when Ravi spoke, no one understood. So I remember telling Ravi once, okay, very thick accent.
Really?
Very, very thick. He grew up in the US and he would kind of, you know, mumble something. And finally, I told him after a long, long time, I said, Ravi, I have to be honest. I've probably never understood more than 50% of what you've said. And Vijay Shekhar Sharma was there with me, was again one of his. And Vijay said, 50? Mere was 75 nahi aata. So it was quite funny. And then I think the independent Sanjeev, so we got, and Philip and Sanjeev were, they really gave. So I think it was a very good mix. So our board meetings, in fact, we did offsites and we would do full day brainstorm sessions. And it was good, yeah. So I think learned so much. I mean, I think he was very happy to share whatever he knew, like, you know, why not? And so we were pushed in many ways and a couple of incidents, some we can talk, not like where he said, listen, there's a clear gap in your one particular area in your team. And your first reaction as an entrepreneur, no, bilkul theek hai, ye, wo, wo. But very gently kept nudging me towards that. And, you know, I think that helped a lot because it did nudge me to take a big decision, which I think helped us a lot in 2008. We made some changes, which really, really helped.
You know, so, one thing to learn from Deep, Shantanu, which is very useful for your audience.
And for me, for sure.
And for you, is how to go about building a board.
I actually want to come on.
Deep was not a domain expert. The fact that he got two domain experts on the board, one of them who was at Expedia, and one of them who ran a market research company in the travel world. And Deep would correct me if I'm wrong, I think our pivot at Make My Trip from airports, airlines to hotels was a very effective one.
Yeah.
And a lot of inspiration from the board.
Both these guys were forever saying, guys, eventually you will not make money on
airline is a commodity.
And they were prescient
because a monopoly. Yeah.
In US, that's the case. So actually they were prescient. Only we managed to keep pushing it because in India, there were different, you know, factors. But they were right. The fragmented market is where you really want to get in. And they, I think, definitely helped us. So, yeah, I think you're right. That really helped.
I learned a very important lesson that both sides need to be fragmented.
Say more.
The customer side and the supplier side, then the marketplace business model is
because then,
brilliant.
Then you as then a platform have the bargaining power.
Yeah.
Bargaining power is yours.
But when you have few suppliers like airlines.
Correct.
Who have the ability to do their own online ticketing. Correct. You're always at their mercy.
Or the extreme is railways.
One supplier.
You never make money because why would they part with anything? You have to buy it. Indian Railways, there's nowhere else to go. And here, of course, you have to buy through IRCTC, which is another issue.
Correct.
So fragmented market, hotels, homestays and villas.
Is that growing? Like that's growing a lot after COVID, right?
Huge, huge, huge. I'm wearing it on my shirt also here today. We're really pushing. Homestays and villas.
Ah.
Yeah, it's big. It's big. COVID ke baad, it got the impetus. And bus. So Red Bus, which is a brand. In fact, Sanjeev has known Red Bus in the previous avatar because they...
Which was our portfolio company.
Yeah.
Which they bought.
Yeah. But we bought... You sold it to Naspers. We bought it from Naspers.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we bought it from Naspers.
Yeah.
We tried, I think, when you had it. We tried to buy it. We couldn't meet the price that time. So, fragmented market, like in your case.
Yeah.
Retail customer, obviously fragmented. But B2B, like if you're in, let's say, corporate travel with large corporates, which we are, much less bargaining power than with SMEs.
Then it's a mugs game.
Yeah, because, you know, they're going
to... It's a race to the bottom.
Yeah, they're going to just decide whatever the pricing and everything. As they should be. I mean, you know, we've been on the other side.
We try to get shaving kits in hotels, okay? So it's a 15 rupee price point.
Yeah.
And we have to displace Gillette. And the procurement guy is like, dude, this is like 1,000th on my priority list. Like, there's no problem with the current product. I said, no, there is. There is. The gel sachet doesn't tear properly.
Yeah.
Is when your hands are wet and the razor is really bad. And he's like, 13 rupees ki cheez yaar karna hai. I said, ha, then we made a whole product. We made this thing kind of tear in the right way.
You cracked someone? Which hotels?
We do almost 500,000 shaving kits a month now.
For whom?
Taj is our biggest one.
Fantastic. Right, if you've cracked Taj, because they're a very savvy operator and they have the largest scale, of course.
Yeah.
Kudos.
The rest will follow. Yeah,
kudos, so we had to match price. Then we had to reduce it.
Of course.
Then we had to have seriously better product, and then it had to get tested by all the GMs and then their staff, and then finally it went through, and I'm still not fully happy with the product, frankly. I think we can do like 30-40%
by more. The way, I just love hotels who on demand, if you give them, they'll give you the chota. I won't say your competitor's name, but yours. They'll give you the shaving, the foam or the gel,
correct?
And you know, some hotels do that. And it's great because, of course, you can carry the small one, but every now and then you're carrying a large one and you get stuck because you've done an international trip, then you move to your small bag.
Correct.
You're doing a domestic trip. Correct. And you just donate it to custom, whatever, security out here.
Security,
So when you go there and they give that to you, it's such a joy. I mean, I for me, since you're talking and I'm travel, one of my biggest peeves, and I saw a hotel in Thailand recently, which got it right. One of the big block hotels, I think it was La Meridian. We did an offsite there in Phuket. Sanjeev, coming out of that old phone, which is on the bedside, it wasn't a brand new hotel. There was an adapter and there were four cords. And the four cords had every kind of socket.
Amazing.
They had a USB-C. Yeah. They had a USB. They had the Android guy and they had something else. And I said, finally, someone has got it. That's all you what want.
Track,
and they did it in such a way that what you can't take it away. No, what are you going to do with it? So it was hardwired and all. Yeah. And I said, this should become de rigueur.
Yeah.
People will just thank you because not only do you have to carry it, you have to take it out and you're there for one night. And then one out of five, you leave it behind.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one thing you'll forget because the last thing to, can you imagine such joy? So these small, simple things that people can start doing, you should develop a dispenser, which the hotel will be happy to have.
Yeah.
Also of shave gel.
Correct. So we want to do
pump it out,
Just
take your gel out and then that's it, you're done. So that no one is going to whack it. It's not that expensive.
Correct.
Just like you have your shampoo, conditioner and your
body wash thing.
Yeah.
The issue with that, they've asked us to do
it. Pay me royalty if it works out.
No. We don't get the brand on it, no.
Why?
I want to
make
get our
such
brand
a sexy case. No, why not? Make such a sexy casing, give them enough money, they'll put your brand on it.
Yeah.
Taj won't, but number two will.
Taj might also. See, Taj is very happy to put
and
the brand on.
And then you have network effects. No?
Yeah.
Talk about it. Go, come, I'll introduce you to all of them. Talk to Lemon Tree. Patu might do it for you. He's a hardcore businessman. He's a Sindhi, as I always tell him. You put it nicely out there, you know, by Bombay Shaving, but very classy.
Yeah.
This is what everyone is doing overseas, yeah.
Yeah.
All those nice chains and so-and-so and so-and-so for Hilton.
Yeah.
For so-and-so.
Correct.
You do it in a classy manner. So I think it'll up your game. That's marketing because then everyone, your customer is trying this.
It also anchors. No, that's the thing with building great brands.
Positioning.
If you're in Taj and if Bombay Shaving Company is in Taj, it anchors the brand. Almost
by association.
By association.
It's huge. It's
and
huge.
And that's what we want to do. Interesting. But what, you know, tell me a little bit about the board meetings, you know, about one is constituting the board. But people sometimes think of board meetings. I see this amongst younger founders like my peers.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
You think of it like a steering committee meeting. Like you have to go and, you know, there are five teachers. You have to kind of show them stuff and make them happy about the progress or, you know, give them news and information and insights. And, you know, but I've seen great founders running board meetings where pre-reads are, you know, very, very articulate. Decisions are up there. help needed is very, very clear, right? So a great board meeting versus an average board meeting, there's a large, large difference. What, like, and you've obviously been a part of many, many.
Yeah, Sanjeev should
and
say.
And you have kind of taken it from a small, you know, from 2000 to, let's say, today. What is the evolution of your board meetings? Yeah. So I want to kind of go deeper on board meetings with both of you.
Sanjeev, you go first.
What does it take to run a great board meeting?
Yeah, sure. I think good board meetings, data is all pre-sent.
Yes.
And it is assumed to be read. Because I have seen dysfunctional board meetings where most of the discussion is about validity of the data.
Arguing around veracity.
How correct is the data? So we have a strategy meet at Lift Space next week. And we were chatting in a pre-board call that no discussion on data. Discussion is only on high impact decisions.
The so what of the data.
Yeah. So whether to go retail in their case, whether to go hotels, whether to go international, how to think about building the management team. So what Deep would do is he would give you all this data and then there'll be 4 or 5 key points which would have a strategic imperative on running the company. And I think that is what all good board meetings are. They don't drown you with so much information that you lose sight of the big picture.
Yeah.
I don't think it started like that, I have to be honest. I think one, A, learnt a lot from... I worked 8 years in 3 different companies.
Where all did you work?
ABN AMRO was my first job after campus, 3 years, banking. Loved ABN, didn't like corporate banking, wanted to do something else. Then a very entrepreneurial thing. I worked for a
bowling
Richmond,
company.
Yeah, AMF Bowling, world leaders in 10-pin bowling. So I brought bowling to India.
Really?
Yeah, I should have sold 2,000 lanes in those 4 years. I sold 200. But all of these projects, all of them are mine, from 32nd Milestone to Kutub to Essex Farms to bowling company in Phoenix, Bombay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bowling company like the Bombay. So, and but we couldn't get, that was the first project we really got what we wanted to do, the scale of 20. Yeah. Atul Ruya got it. This is what I want to build. But by that time, also real estate in India was just not commensurate to. So it taught me a lot. I think I learned my entrepreneurial chops there.
Wow.
But I was stagnating on growth. And then I worked with G. So G, the amount you could learn from so many guys. You know, not just promote.
Which part of G was this?
G Capital. Oh. So I was vice president business development. I worked for, Nitin hired me in the retail finance side. And I was looking at distribution. So I was actually looking at internet formally and working, trying to do something with Redev, doing something with Automart India, Mahindra's way back then. So doing a lot of stuff, 99. Learned so much, not just from Pramod, but guys like you could see them at work. Raman Roy, you could, I mean, you know, really phenomenal. And both are now good friends. But you, there was a lot to learn. So I think I learned what not to do and what to do. But initially in the board meetings, I can tell you the first few, you realize that it was going all over the place. And not for any other reason. People had different expectations. See, everyone came in. Now, let's say we did Sanjeev's first meeting in 2006. Mm. He and Sierra, for them, it was their first board meeting. But Sierra is sitting in the US. They knew a lot about the segment. They were taking that for, they were already asking very US kind of questions, right? Sanjeev was coming from a perspective of, listen, to build a great company, you've got to build solid process, team. He's always been a team person. And we used to have a lot of discussions around how to build a very good team, because I think we come from a similar philosophy. You don't have good people, you'll never be able to scale up. And actually, I must talk about our introduction to executive coaching. And that's all he's doing. I meant to mention it earlier. I missed it. I'll come to that. It's worth, because that was a phenomenal input, because Helion introduced me to someone who was on their board for this, Dhruv Prakash, who used to lead L&D for Korn Ferry at one time, who became my executive coach for many, many years and a dear friend and one of the most amazing executive coaches, I think. I've met a few more after that, worked with them, but no one like him. So many, many such things. But I realized now they were coming from different standpoints. Safe was already there for 1 year. Mm-hmm. They knew a lot about the company. The independents were coming. Everyone had different expectations.
Correct.
So you had to make a primer where you brought everyone up to OpenSuite. So I'll use the same example he gave of Amazon customer service. Preempt what they will ask.
Correct.
So Sara data de do, but in a nice structured manner. Double click, double click, double click. It's all there.
Correct.
First principle every founder should know, and whoever's listening to this, keep life simple for yourself and everything else, keep one set of numbers.
Yeah.
I know founders who have three sets of numbers. One for themselves, one for their board, and one for tax. I don't know how they manage it. I can barely manage one set of numbers here.
And so, one for the team.
Maybe. So, we don't game that game. So, it helped. You know, everyone was very straight. The complete trust, you tell them. Then the other golden rule, which everyone will tell is, if there's bad news, be the first one to tell your board.
Correct.
Because if they hear it sniffing, they'll get it from somewhere. Correct. Then you lose trust. So, you want to build trust, right? And the first few years, you are building trust. It's a reality. In any relationship, why even board to entrepreneur? I think even people we hire, you know, how do you build a really good one if you're a good person? Be honest. Correct. And frank.
Correct.
Tell them everything. Kitne pani mein ho, you let them know. Correct. Only then will they become part of the problem and try to fix it. If you are trying to strut around saying everything's great, but you're, you know, under there's darkness and andhera hai. So eventually they'll figure out. People are smart. So I think we gave them all of that data, but this, the main slide I would want to rush to was points to discuss, which is, let's focus at least 2/3 of our time. 1/3 is still obviously on reportage. You have to give reportage. They want to see how market share is moving, how you're moving. All that is there. Not everyone, even if people pre-read, it's confusing. Yeah, business model was not that clear. Even accounting people were like, for many times people would ask, yeah, what is gross? What is revenue? What is net? It's actually confusing. And many companies have purposely made it more confusing.
Yeah.
You know, just to kind of, but there's
in
no
your
hiding.
Case, revenue is take rate.
Yeah. Revenue is take rate, gross take rate. So right now our run rate revenue is $1 billion. And at that time when we IPO'd, it was 40 going on 60 million.
Wow.
So yeah, I think scale wise, it's obviously grown very, very well.
And when was the IPO? What year was it?
2010.
Oh, 10
and a half. So we've listed like 10 and a half, 14 and a half, going on 15 years. So I think that was the simple formula. If I was in their shoes, what would I need to know? And be very careful. You have three or four, two Goras, two guys, Indians from the US.
Yeah.
One who, interestingly, Tim and you both went to PEC, Chandigarh, which is so crazy.
Yeah.
And really? Yeah. My co-founder is on PEC. In fact, he was there just 2 days back.
Really?
Deepak. Yeah, Deepak is from Peck. And he said,
PEC has got like
Punjab really... Punjab da putar.
And he abhi bol raha tha ki, yaar, humare alumni ne, we have not done enough as an alumni.
I don't think you have. Tim was over for dinner and I told him and he says, oh my God, I wish I knew. We could have called Sanjeev. And so it's a, you know, there was something great happening there. And then you had Sanjeev who was purely, you know, they see Sanjeev Bikchandani and you're Sanjeev Agar. So I had to, pitch something which worked for all.
All.
So, I think you have to think long and hard, and it's the job of a founder. Obviously, CFO can give you the numbers. But this packaging is also very important. Just like our packaging of our product is important for the external world, I think this packaging is very important on how you do it.
And I think honesty in disclosure.
Yeah.
Like Deep said, good news, bad news, everything should be...
We're seeing a lot of this go downhill
over
the last 5-7 years. There are clear governance issues. People are blindsided. Investors are blindsided sometimes. What is happening there? Like, we are seeing so many of these situations where, you know, just...
You know,
I can give a one-word answer. I think it's greed, but...
is it as simple as that?
Of course it is.
I think, probably greed. And maybe the other way to answer that question is that... Our businesses are all mostly winner-take-it-all. The world that you, I, and Deep live in. Winner-take-it-all means that highest revenue gets you access to capital.
Yeah.
So I think when you have that kind of a pressure to be a leader, then all kinds of governance issues prop up in your trying to shore up your revenue numbers, which may... actually be either profitless or may not be there at all.
Yeah.
And I think both VCs and entrepreneurs are
responsible,
are party to the crime. Because for a VC to be able to raise the next fund, his portfolio companies have to do well.
Correct.
The index of what construes doing well, at least in the current state of affairs, is revenue growth and leadership. So that is a dynamic.
But people should know that this is like, at some point, someone's going to get
caught up. Yeah, the cookie is going to crumble.
Absolutely. It has to, right? And yeah. They're extremely smart people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the founders have so much to lose. If you take your company and start kind of
and
bloating
actually,
it up.
Not only founders, even investors.
So much reputation.
The reputational impact.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next founder doesn't want you on his cap table if you're going to push them. So, I mean, our discussion with Deep used to always be about company building. How can we be a great place to work at? How do we make sure that our growth is profitable? So if you become so outcome-oriented, Shantanu, ki revenue number dikhao, kitna bada hai, 100% quarter over quarter grow kar raha hai ki nahi, I think that is your downfall.
Perhaps. Yeah, perhaps. Sanjeev, but I think it's worth talking a bit more. I'm glad you brought it up, Shantanu. I'm hearing even like some other VC friends have shared that of course, they all do their diligence before coming in. And it's shocking the number of companies that are, you know, the numbers that they put forward are not adding up.
Mm-hmm. And this is, I've heard that this is not like a 10-20% thing.
Pre-diligence. So they realize that's happening. So then obviously good VCs will not come in. So my theory on this is there are orbits and you find your own orbit and you move in that. So clean entrepreneurs will only work with clean VCs and vice versa. Because that variable goes out of the way. Not I'm clean, but you can still be street smart.
Yeah.
But people who are ready to cut corners, and there are so many, will find investors who are ready to cut corners. So I think that was the point Sanjeev was saying. So you find your own orbit. You were comfortable because you're like saying, listen, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, greater fool theory. Ab kisi aur ko topi panayenge.
But is that conversation as explicit as that?
Yeah, clearly can't tell you the names that I know on podcast. It's crazy. It's
are
crazy.
You serious?
Yeah, it's crazy. And big names are also involved. So I think we say investors have to find the companies. I think if you have to be very careful about who gets in. Also, as a entrepreneur, you want to be very clear of who gets in. And normally, wo pata chal jata hai aapko in few meetings. There are many ways of like people will be pushing you this, that, whatever, and they might be testing you. You have to hold your ground. At the end of the day, you have to do what sits well with you.
Yeah.
Right? There's certain, that's what is we all call values, right?
Yeah.
And this is not education. They're very different. You can have
the best correlation is surprisingly low.
Yeah, it might be inverse. Who knows what like. I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff has happened and continues to happen. Things continue to blow up and it's not an Indian thing. I mean, you know, whether it's Enron, whether it's Lehman Brothers, whether it's this, we probably have learnt it from the West.
Theranos.
Yeah, Theranos would like
it was a classic
scam of another order.
Yeah. So we had Alok Sama.
Yeah, we are.
Few days back on the pod. Yeah. Have you read his book?
I've read parts. I know Alok actually.
Oh, brilliant.
Really?
Man, what a brilliant book.
I haven't,
book.
I should.
Have you read it?
Huh?
What a brilliant book.
He's like, actually a brilliant guy.
I just felt like, my dad did it. My dad turned 70 this year. So he's also an entrepreneur.
Oh, wow.
He was the CEO of Tech Mahindra and then he went on to start his own company around the same time.
He was before CP?
Yes.
Oh my God. We were both with CP last evening.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's also your neighbor, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He was CEO from 96 to 2001.
Wow.
And then at the age of 50, he started his own company called Airtight Networks out of California. Airtight Networks, Mojo Networks, it became rebranded. It's a wireless security company. His co-founder
wow,
is
man.
Like...
So it runs in the family. Huh?
I don't know how.
That's
I really
amazing.
Don't know. I sell razors.
That's amazing. And he enjoyed the book?
Oh, so he... We were in Dubai for like... I took him to Dubai for his 70th birthday. It's like father-son trip. And he had the book. And we were sharing a hotel room. At night for an hour, he's just lolling every 15 minutes. I took a video of him laughing while reading the book and sent it to Alok.
Now I have to read it.
I told him, you have made my dad's birthday so much more fun. And my dad, reading it and enjoying it.
Alok is fantastic.
To see an Indian author write with so much, you know, almost British humor.
Wait,
a little bit P.G. Woodhouse-esque in his writing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he talks a lot about, for example, Adam Newman. And he's very open about it. He's working with Masa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know,
he was at SoftBank for quite a while.
And he said, you know, we saw this WeWork deal. It was not a tech company. We knew what he was doing. He was like, this is not just Masa who kind of fell for the story. This was Jamie Dimon. At one point, Warren Buffett. Everyone's falling for this stuff. And founders are just amazing storytellers if they really believe in something. And someone has to kind of yank reality out.
Of course.
And if the investor doesn't do it, that everyone's kind of...
Yeah, look at what Satyam did to us. I mean, put us back so many because people suddenly always thought the tech sector, at that time tech was IT, yeah. ITAS, Sanjeev's X sector. Everyone thought was, you know, clean as a whistle kind of sector. Suddenly everyone got this thing.
I mean, and they were known for their governance.
And then we had, then Byju's has done this. So all of this, like there's a, you know, has really pushed us back. People now,
a lot.
Yeah, people now.
I think it's all in the quest of supercharged growth.
Yeah. Even now.
Yeah.
Even now, like I am extremely, like I feel any venture funded entrepreneur has to go public to get like, there's no other way. Or you get acquired, or you go public. How do you give returns?
You have to give. The moment you take institutional capital, you have to give.
You have to go public.
No, they're not coming in for dividend.
You need 3-4, you know, great IPOs a year from the venture funded ecosystem.
Yeah.
I don't think there is good form on this, by the way.
Oh, well, we're much better there than. I think the industry has come of age. We're much better than what we used to be.
You think so?
Well, look at the last few years. It's been pretty good. I mean, where, you know, people, no one, for me, one of my favorite stories is Nykaa.
Yeah.
And I know Falguni, but like, she just did it against all odds. Most investors saw that business and said no.
Yeah.
And she said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do retail. I'm going to do this. She had such clear gut instinct about it. Look at the business. Yeah, it's a fantastic business. So you can say valuation up and down is a different thing.
Yeah.
But absolutely, there are many good stories. Yeah, come on.
Shantanu, one big change is 2006 when we invested in Make My Trip. Our GDP was about a trillion. Now it is about 4 trillion.
4 trillion.
That time we had 30 million internet subscribers. Now we have roughly...
Half a billion.
A billion.
A billion people use the internet.
900
Buyers,
million.
Buyers, you billion. Can stay still in that 100 million kind of mark.
Yeah.
We've had 80 million customers we have serviced. Till date,
unique.
81.
Huh.
In or cumulative. So uniques, no? I mean, 80 million unique people. So therefore, there must be many more buyers.
Changed is ki jo opportunity hai around digitalization, around GDP growth, that is creating lot many more scalable companies. Jab hum 2006 mein, we used to evaluate companies, the biggest issue was TAM. That the available market never used to add up to creating a $1 billion company. But now I believe that there are many $10 billion markets in which if you get 5% market share, you get $500 million of revenue. And if you have 2x revenue multiple, you create a $1 billion company. So I think that is a big trajectory change in India from 2005 to 2025. And the quality of people who are building entrepreneurial companies, that is also on an upswing.
Absolutely.
Because earlier, the IIT computer science class of IIT Kanpur, 90% would end up in US Stanford.
Yeah. Correct.
Now, 90% of them want to do entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I think we have a bigger opportunity and more talent attracting opportunity. And very little friction. So, us time, they said there was no UPI. So, Flipkart used to do cash on delivery.
Correct.
And they had army
what
of
a, what a
army of people doing cash on delivery. Now, there are 15 billion UPI transactions.
Correct.
And we have a company in our portfolio called Cuckoo FM.
Huh. Yeah. What a story, you know?
Now,
what a story.
They sell a 100 rupee subscription, which all goes through auto-pay feature of UPI.
That's
otherwise, payment was such a big friction point.
Yeah.
So that is all taken. So I agree with Deep that
right.
I think the overall ecosystem is a lot more conducive. And with China going through the difficulties it is going through, and US, most markets are saturated.
Yeah.
So I think we are certainly a bright spot.
Yeah, so in fact, I mean, you said that your space yourself, you said Mama Earth. I'm saying, look at Zomato. Look at, you know, what kind of scale and level and how well they're executing at scale. And Swiggy's done a decent job. Policy Bazaar.
Yes.
Nykaa we spoke about. Mama Earth.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many companies today out there who are actually built good companies. I can tell you right in your backyard out here.
Urban company.
Abhi is building a great company.
But I have to, like, So I have realized that there are some things that professional, high quality management can do way better than the founder. There are some things that I feel I can do, and this may be related to me, which I feel I can add value much more than like someone who's recruited, whether it's legacy, whether it's marketing, etc., or even consumer work. So wherever I feel like my value add is disproportionately high, I get involved. Wherever I feel like it's not, I stay
away.
That's
amazing. Not easy for founder let go. Yeah. That's amazing. Good.
And I think I'm like a lot more hands off than most people.
That's amazing.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have been able to do this.
Yeah.
I'm hands off, and I also trust more. But I try to keep my eyes on like early signals.
Mm, good governance.
Early signals. Yeah. Like right now, for example, we have 20 people in a room, and the meeting was just not efficient at all. I'm like, guys, we have to run good meetings next year. Like, I don't care who's running the meeting, how long the meeting's for, what the meeting's for. We cannot have
so much
college level
time, yeah.
Amateur.
So much management time.
Yeah, we cannot
no,
do
no,
that.
Once in a while, you have to give that feedback. Yeah. My guys haven't forgotten till date. We were doing an offsite in JP Noida.
Huh.
And a work annual strategy meet, which we just did 3 days ago. And we've moved a lot. So that was many moons ago, 10 years ago. Drove to JP. Presentation. The third or the fourth, this was our holidays package business. I was so upset because I was anyway very upset they're doing this in Noida. I said, kyun Noida le ja rahe ho and all anyway. I screamed. I don't think I cursed, but I walked out and I left the place. And I said, this is the shittiest, very rare I've done. I said, this is probably the shittiest quality presentation. Like nothing has changed from last year to this year. And you've called me here and you've called everyone. You're wasting everyone's time. Complete waste, this thing. The guys haven't forgotten till date. 10-12 saal ho gaye. I said, but then maybe it served its purpose.
Yeah.
I said, how do you be very mindful of everyone's time.
Yeah. How do you feel as a founder though after that? Like I didn't
feel good driving back. It was a long drive back. I was still very hot and like actually my ears were singeing. I was very, very upset.
Yeah.
But I think that like one guy called and I think Rajesh told me, he said, nahi, theek kiya. I said, why? He said, they needed the dose. He said, that evening, no one normally end of people party. He said, no one was partying. I said, daru to tab bhi piyo. He said, haan, par dukh mein pi raha. Khushi mein nahi. But it was good because you have to be mindful. If you have the power to call a meeting and you've got 10 people, you are going to take 10 into 1 hour of quality time. Yeah. You better make it efficient. Yeah. And be mindful and vice versa. I hate making people wait for any of this thing. And I don't want to also wait. 5 minutes, okay. But more than that, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Can't start a meeting. You can't do anything. That's not fair.
Yeah.
So I think and make it efficient because time hi to hai. That's all we have really at the end of the day. That's the only finite resource, right? Yeah. Everything else is.
It compounds. Inefficiency compounds in crazy ways.
Of course. Then mediocrity. Chalta hai, kuch bhi dal do upar. In fact, we banned for a while. I banned PPTs. I said only Excels will be. Either screenshots of app or web. Yeah. That's what I want presented. Yeah. Or Excel. Because PowerPoint is the easiest. It's the bullshitter's tool. That's a fact. Yeah. Someone said, "Na PowerPoint is made by people who have neither the power nor the point." But PowerPoint mein aap kuch bhi hai. Not that I don't use PowerPoint. It's a great aid to memory.
Yeah.
If you're presenting somewhere, it's a great aid to memory.
Correct.
You don't even need to keep notes. But normally, but actually, PowerPoint people camouflage a lot.
Yeah.
But when you have numbers, I think at the end of the day, numbers tell the truth. And Excel bhi dalo na. Because then people can real time say, okay, let's change that assumption.
Correct.
So anyway, let's...
So you're talking about urban company. And I agree. I think when you spoke about fragmentation in both demand and supply, I think urban company also a beautiful example.
Great example.
Absolutely.
Tremendous fragmentation on services. And they found their footing in... They're so innovative on the supply side.
Great founder.
And on demand also like across the board, across
huge
price
training
points.
Center, huge this thing. They're doing great stuff.
It's a skilling business.
Institution builder.
Like and the way they think about their company, their ESOPs, their people.
So that's exactly what I meant. I went there long back to speak to the team. Abhi had called me and he's a junior from IMA and now we've become friends. I've just realized, in fact, he was to come last evening, Y Capital was visiting. So he said, I'm very busy with them and showing them my training center. So we have many founders like that, actually. Of course, Bangalore has more.
Missionary, right? Like very missionary.
Longer term thinkers. Exactly to Sanjeev's original point. Who are building enduring enterprises. They're building for 20, 30, 40 years. Like really, they want to build something which will last. Meaningful. Because they're saying this is, we are not in it for the quick buck. deferred gratification, and that will come. But, and I think Sanjeev Bikhchandani himself, what they built, and then they realized, listen, that space might be limited in Naukri, so we'll do 2-3 other verticals, even Saathi Yeva, and finally the investments have become there. But, you know, it's how you think about it again. So I think the quality of entrepreneurs now and the way they are thinking, I mean, I'd like to focus on the positive. We spoke a bit about all the, you know, not so great elements, but maybe it's there everywhere. But,
no, but that's the stuff that needs, that's the thing. I think there's no training on governance. Like McKinsey was a happenstance training for me around governance and, you know, being confidential and just being professional. But if you don't work in an institution that values it, like for example, Colgate is an investor. They're one of the most financially conservative companies in the world. So that teaches our finance and our folks that we have to be super conservative, legally you have to be super on point. But if we don't have that and you're suddenly out there and then there is, you know, venture capital, which is very growth
oriented.
Right? And then you don't know, like, if you're not trained and if you're not mentored and there's no executive coaching and there's no one to control in a way, it's very easy to slip. And that's where good founders can kind of...
I don't know. I think, of course, there's a lot to be said of values, but I think that's where you say, why do you need a good auditor? And a good auditor who does their job will tell you, it's most people know what's right from wrong. Yeah, sure, you might have a pure tech, young 20-year-old guy building something he doesn't know. Hire a decent VP finance, who knows? For anything on legal, which side of the law you want to go, please take advice. That's very important. And most VCs will say, you should, because no one wants to get stuck in that.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a training issue, really.
No?
No, I don't think so.
My theory, Shantanu, is that building an enduring company, there are three components which speak to what you are saying. First is growth, which is led by chief marketing officer, chief revenue officer.
Sales.
Comes very naturally to all of us because we are in a growth economy.
Yeah.
We are not in Europe, which is degrowing. I think second is efficiency, which is more CFO sponsored, which makes sure that your growth is profitable, at least at a gross margin level, if not at the net level. And third is all the foundational stuff, which is your security architecture, your corporate governance. So if you want to build an enduring company, these three engines have to fire
same time
concurrently.
Yeah. Beautifully
put. It can't be sequential.
Beautifully put, I think that's
a great framework. And you can't prioritize one and compromise the other.
Exactly.
So that's such a good framework. I think, that's the whole, like, if you think about it, that's what you really need. And if you have that in place, then keep growing. But these are your checks and balances also.
Yeah.
And that's also tells you what's the job of everyone, really.
Yeah.
And founder is naturally going to be inclined towards growth. His job is to surround himself with people who look at efficiency and foundation.
Yeah.
Because that is where his time is best used.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, I don't know whether you saw Zomato's rebranding to Eternal.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous, right?
All that.
The way Dipinder thinks about this.
No, I think Dipinder and the team on that, they're so on point. They're so clever. They're so witty. Their product is just fantastic, let's face it. And then so is Blinkit now.
Yeah.
And they were probably both good and they're now even better. But Zomato always, I think they're very clever on that. It's nice to see that. I mean, it has all the hallmarks and the markings of any company around the world, if you think about it. So it's great.
Blinkit was, I think, one of the innovators in the quick commerce space. And for a while, we were wondering, it's like the whole, if the supply is then suddenly cornered by one company, then it becomes problematic. Our margins get concentrated
then
there, right?
Six.
So we're like, oh, hold on a second. Now quick commerce has become a feature.
Yeah.
Now, Nykaa is doing quick commerce.
Yeah.
2-hour delivery.
He just told you how
Basket
changed.
Is doing.
Yeah.
Amazon is launching.
Sadly, Dunzo was probably the pioneer.
Yeah.
Became a verb. Yeah. It doesn't exist, which is
Dunzo
so sad.
And maybe story, also Swiggy. Right? Swiggy was also a pioneer in quick commerce.
And so he's
Bangalore.
Still around.
Dunzo
Dunzo had that was Instamart, I think.
Instacart
in the US, Instamart.
And Instamart, Zepto, Blinkit were the three big ones.
Yeah.
They continue to be kind of really competing hard. But everyone else, Flipkart Minutes, Amazon Taze,
change customer
Big Basket,
behavior.
Everyone.
It can't happen anywhere else in the world except maybe here or China because of labor costs.
Yeah.
It's not, we all keep saying it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
But we are addicted to it now.
Fully.
And everyone's saying this is much better than waiting for something. So what business does an AC have to sell on quick on us.
PlayStation, but man.
Yesterday, I heard a use case for a hairdryer. I never believed you can buy it on this thing.
Yeah.
Shireen Bhan told me it saved my day. I landed somewhere to do an interview. And I did a blinket and I got my hair dry. I said, wow, I never even would have thought of that.
You know how many electric shavers we sell on quick commerce a day?
How many?
1,000+ a day.
And how many do you sell shavers on Amazon kind and Flipkart kind?
Amazon, see, totally we sell around 3,500 a day.
So one-third.
One-third is quick commerce.
Wow, 30%.
Around 2,500 online, so 1,500 or so on Amazon, Flipkart, Nike.
And pricing is the same?
Broadly. Broadly. Maybe 5%.
See, that's the whole thing. The point you said, you got a big date, you're going out and you suddenly, oh my God, I have to get Manscaped.
Yeah.
What I've heard.
In fact, what people are doing is people are discovering products everywhere and then buying them on Blinkit.
Yeah.
They'll discover like a PlayStation or
Blinkit's delivery is great.
Why do I wait?
Yeah, it's very seamless, very nicely done, that whole tracker and all. Yeah. So anyway, I think the central point is that enough great companies, markets ready. It's for the taking.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're willing to be a founder who says, I'm solving a real problem which exists, not just creating a problem, I'm solving a problem, doing it better than anyone else. And guess what? I'm in it for the long haul.
Correct.
Main 4-5 saal left nahi dekhunga, right nahi dekhunga, yehi problem solve karunga.
Correct.
I might pivot how to do it because the market changes or something, quick commerce comes up, but I'll still solve that problem like yours. There is no, and you're smart enough.
Yeah.
There is no way you won't succeed.
Yeah.
It's as actually so simple as that. Yes, you need a combo of EQ, IQ. EQ will help you build a good team, motivate a good team. So I think the basics aren't that hard. The trouble, people get distracted.
Yeah.
People just get distracted. There's a lot of noise. You know, Sanjeev said there's temptation. Yeah. Someone comes around, you know, dangles a carrot. You're saying, oh, wow, take it.
Yeah.
You'll regret it so much when someone else in the same space builds a company or the product or a feature not half as good as what you do. Yeah. And you'll be saying, oh my God, what it was mine. And
but now we are seeing that most of our portfolio companies, they are very focused on profitable growth.
Yeah.
So I think the era of buying growth,
gone.
That is done and dusted.
Yeah. Good thing.
So that is very good news.
And do you see founders being more patient? Like, I always wonder with younger founders with, you know, like being like instant gratification being a cultural thing now.
Yeah.
That founders sometimes just, you know, won't have a 25-year window or like a 30-year horizon.
Oh, we didn't plan on 25. But, obviously. But
I know. Like today, for example.
I think $1 billion ki agar company banani hai Shantanu, to 10-15 saal to lagte hain. So that is a given. So if you want to make an impact in your industry, then it is a journey of 10 to 20 years. We are not US that you can create a $1 trillion company in a very quick time. Yeah.
Well, it's getting faster.
It's certainly getting faster. Yeah.
And who knows? I think you were saying UPI and the building blocks, and I was saying who would know it better than you and your partner Nandan Fundamental.
Correct.
I mean, you know, he's really the father of that. And what a gift to the nation, I think. I mean, you know, if you think about it.
Yeah.
It's something to feel very proud about.
Yeah, and incredible. We are way ahead of the rest of the world.
And we all use it every day.
Multiple times.
Yeah, so many times without even thinking about it.
The thing with great products, like WhatsApp, I think is a great product. Like a feature will get added. Like, for example, an emoji reaction to a message was a feature that showed up on WhatsApp a few couple of years back. And we just got used to it.
Yeah.
And like, every time the product gets better and better. I think UPI is like that. Like suddenly there's credit cards on UPI.
Yeah.
And suddenly, the brilliance of that product, of that feature is very interesting. I'm glad you said it. The emoji one. It's a silent one. So the person who gets to know is the one who posted the message.
Correct.
Someone liked my post or whatever it was. So of course they took it from, you know, Insta or wherever else. Correct. Someone's liked this.
Correct.
So they built in social into this. But no one else on that group is bothered.
Correct.
So they're not, or rather bothered, meaning they're not, like told or disturbed.
Correct.
Because you liked my post, you told me, I know it. Others can see it, but they won't be alerted that, oh, guess what? Yeah. Shantanu is like Deep Spot.
Yeah.
It's product thinking.
It's brilliant. Like even for example, small WhatsApp, for example, and Make My Trip by this, brilliant on this, right? Mm. On WhatsApp, the typing dot dot used to be a small T, then became a capital T. And the world became so problem. Like, yeah. Everyone had an issue. Ki, capital D. Then suddenly they made a... I don't know if you've seen it now, but there's like a small balloon at the bottom with two dots on it. The typing is gone.
Yeah, it's dot, dot, dot. That's
and
it.
And people are like... It's, and Big Bad Trip, same thing. I
devil's in the detail, yeah. That's always. It. In all of this little stuff. And
the good to great is in the small stuff.
Yes.
I always think about it. Like, you know, if you're doing cheek to chin in front of a basin for like a minute and a half a day, that's what we stand for. If you don't get that stroke right, if the razor doesn't wash,
of course,
it's a small, like the small micron difference in the blade angle or the blade gap.
No, I totally agree. And for a guy, it's a huge deal. I mean, women have many other such moments.
Yes.
But men have that one moment.
So we are a hair removal brand, by the way. Yeah. We have a women's brand called Bombay, a men's brand called Bombay Shaving Company. So look at the three of us. There's a mustache and a clean shave. There's a clean shave. There's a beard and bald. Right, so I want, like, I've, for example, not shaved my head in 3-4 days. So I have this weird growth. I have to do that.
Yeah.
And if you see women, eyebrows, upper lips, etc. Remove hair from the body, which is unwanted. Your delta and how you look to yourself just goes up to the roof. You can wear what you want.
Mm.
Men in India, like, it's a tropical country. We wear vests. We have hair on our back and chest. It's getting hotter.
Yeah.
Women are, you know, spouses don't like.
Yeah.
So hair, it's gone from cheek to chin for a man to full body for both genders.
Phenomenal.
Across ages.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
So for us, I think like the TAM expansion and now consumers are so beauty conscious.
Mm-hmm. Is it a manscaping term? I think my son taught me the term. Yeah. I didn't even know the term.
But Sanjeev and Deep, I think, you know, thank you so much for, you know, when Sanjeev and I got talking about getting a barbershop episode, I told him, you know, get your favorite founder on this.
I told him, I said, there's no way I'll say no. And,
to see your camaraderie, to see your friendship, to see that this relationship probably goes back 19, 20 years, which is professional, now clearly personal. It's a lot for me also like to learn from that, you know, through good and bad, through highs and lows, through COVID, which must have been crazy for you guys, you know. And I'm sure both of you have seen each other evolve, like as an investor, as a founder, what you were in 2006 versus what you are today. I think this is a huge from two. And that's a learning for our audiences also, like that no one ever stops learning. No one ever, like the best people are always growing and always so curious to hear.
Yeah, true.
And, you know, if I were to just like ask you both for one bite more for, you know, anyone watching, something which might be slightly more counterintuitive or slightly more nuanced on how they should think about building a great body of work. Whether it's entrepreneurial investing or whatever they want to do. But what is it that you could tell someone about building a great body of work they can look back and be proud of? What would that be?
I guess for me, the single most important trait for an entrepreneur, and I can speak only for that, is just the resilience. We've kind of said it in many different ways. I think the ability to hang in there, in especially tough times, separates companies that will become great versus, you know, eventually people will just fall down. First sign of winter.
Yeah.
And it's so true in anything we do. Yeah. You know, Malcolm Gladwell wrote about that. You can say 10,000 hours, but we all know the life of a sportsman or a sportswoman is so hard.
Yeah.
There are probably more disappointments than this thing. Like that famous one about, you know, I think Federer was, he said, I only won 51% of the points or something like
that. That stat was
and
crazy.
And most of the matches.
Can you imagine? Because he won the points that mattered. And I said, oh my God, is that serious? Yeah. No, we're talking about the GOAT.
Yeah.
So I think it's something about that. Learn from your failure. Failure is not a bad thing if you do it in the right way and you learn from it. Don't repeat that mistake.
Yeah.
And the other one is really, I think people underestimate the value of your team around you.
Yeah.
You know, make them your strength. Get great people, of course.
Yeah.
And then let them be. I think give them a lot of space. You know, I think a lot of founders, I call it, it's a disease called founderitis. Founders think I can only do everything best. It's a founder problem, right? But that's, I think, going to be your nemesis because there's no way you can do everything. Hire great people, people better than yourself in their respective fields, and then let them be because they joined you, a startup. So assumption is they're very good at what they do. Therefore, they had many opportunities. They left something more. They chose you actually for only one thing, to get the kick of an entrepreneurial journey, but not taking the full risk.
Correct.
And if you don't give it that, they'll leave. So now look back and see who all left within 1 to 2 years, but they were very good people. They probably gave you a bullshit excuse and left. No one tells you the truth. The reality is they didn't enjoy working here.
Yeah.
So I think we have to think very hard about that. You think these 2-3 things are all you need to do.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I'll share with you my own personal story. I went to Punjab Engineering College और मैं नकल मार के पास हुआ
सर पॉडकास्ट में बोल रहे डिग्री वापस ले
क्योंकि I didn't have the mind of an engineer and then through serendipity I ended up doing MBA and when I entered the world of business I realized that this was my calling So, entrepreneurship, venture capital gives me such close proximity with the world of business that it doesn't really feel like work. So, if you can marry your passion or your interest with your vocation or your profession, then I think excellence happens
as an outcome.
As an outcome.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah.
And... That is what I would urge. I also tell my children ki koi jaldi nahi hai. You have a full life ahead of you. So if you can discover your...
Find your mojo.
Find your mojo and then play to it.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, so true. Actually, I have a slide, one of them on this, which Achha. Is my bullshit slides. But my reminders, my aid to this thing on some lectures you one gives. Find your mojo. Yeah. That's so true. You found yours. You love what you do. You don't know where the day starts, where it ends. Find your mojo and you will naturally just be able to do everything. You're so right.
Yeah, there's no work-life balance. There's just life.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. No, you only go home because there's, you know, family.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can. There's no fatigue on work. Like, where do you get tired working? That's not true.
Which is why when I do three of these, I don't, like, I'm more energized now than when we sat together.
Yeah, I can see that.
When I sat together, I'd come out of a meeting, which was like, the, now I'm like in far more energized in and, you know, kind of, you know, hopefully I speak on behalf of all three of us. But thank you, Sanjeev, Deep. I think this is just the first of many conversations that we should have on the Barbershop. I would love to, and I know we went a little deeper on the founder investor relationship, but building a company from scratch, what it takes to measure a market, what is raising capital like. There's a lot of stuff that I have not covered with what many founders think
does
is the OG of Indian entrepreneurship.
Yeah. So always another time.
Would love to get both of you again sometime later in this year as well. But thank you so much for coming. And we do have a small gift for you.
Thank you for your lovely studio.
Thank you for hosting us, Chan.
Very cool. Great questions.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, really nice.